Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the third episode of Let's Talk It Out podcast. I'm Alec Lipschultz. A lot of people call me Trey Busy. So whatever you feel comfortable calling me, man, I'll accept it. It's acceptable. I would like to start this episode like I started off last week's episode. I would like to thank everybody who's reached out to me this past week. It's a lot of people. I don't have the names in front of me, but some of the things that you guys have said has been very impactful to my life. It fires me up. It fuels me to keep going, and it makes me think about you guys. I hope you guys are having a great week. So I reach out to you when I can. If I haven't responded to you, I promise you I will do my best to get back to you. So this week's episode, we're going to be covering PTSD in the military community. So I'm gonna go ahead. I want to give you guys just a few tidbits about it, like what really fires me up about it and why I feel like this is a very important topic for us. So 40,000 military members have returned from Iraq or Afghanistan have been diagnosed with PTSD. So it's just that's a lot of people just walking around with PTSD. Those are ones that are just diagnosed with it. Some people are undiagnosed with it. They don't know it, have it going on with them yet. The rate of PTSD is 3 times higher in military men and women than anyone else, for obvious reasons, because they experience very traumatic things in their life. 1 out of 5 military members who have fought and returned from Iraq or Afghanistan, they show symptoms of PTSD or major depression, but only over half have sought treatment of that. So people are just walking around with it, and my goal is for them to understand that there are people out there just like them and they have it going on with them as well. And you won't be judged for getting treatment. You won't get judged for seeking out help to help yourself out, help you feel better about what's going on with you. In addition to PTSD, other mental health issues can develop during or after deployment, such as depression, suicidal thoughts, substance abuse, which is a huge one, and of course, anxiety disorders. So yeah, it's like very important that people seek out the help that they need. So tonight, I'm not alone. I have 2 very important guests, friends of the Bears Barroom Network, but guys that also have military backgrounds. So I'd like to introduce first, Bobby Phelan.
What's going on, Trey?
What's up, Bob? Bobby Bombs. You know, Bob, you know, it's so funny, man. You got a lot of names, man. We just Phil Butch's a feeling, failing.
Oh,
you
know, I know.
But one time, just for one time, can you just tell people how you pronounce it? Just one time.
Yeah, easy day. So I told him earlier, because I was talking to him. I talked to him earlier today on this whole little thing that he's doing for 100 proof. And he's like, well, I told him I got to call feeling. I was like, yo, Phil, it's like, how long have we been talking, man? You keep saying feeling. I was like, it's failing, failing. Tell him you're about to be feeling my foot upside your if you don't get this thing correct. But yeah, man, it's Bobby Phelan. You know, I had a lady the other day call me Pahalen. I mean, it's PH. You know, I just turned and asked her, like, have you ever used a Pahone? You know, do you pick up the Pahone when you call people? But either way, it's Phelan. I appreciate you inviting us on, man. You know, I mean, so a little bit about us. I know you wanted, or about myself specifically. I know you wanted to go into a little rundown here. I'm currently in the military. I've been in the military. I'm about to hit 18 years. I've been deployed numerous times. A lot of time spent away from the family. I've been to Iraq 4 times, Afghanistan 3 times, Bahrain once, with a little mix of Bahrain and Syria in there together. A lot of deployments, man. A lot of time spent away from the family. Dealt with a lot of guys that have, you know, PTSD and a lot of depression, anxiety in that. And, you know, excited to get to talking and, you know, help as many people as we can, man, and let them know that, you know, they're not alone. The door's open and there's always somebody there that's willing to, you know, to help out or chat with.
So, Bob, before we get too far deep into him, I have someone else that I wanted to introduce. I want to introduce Tyler Ellis. Tyler, tell a little people about yourself.
Hey, thanks, Trey. Thanks for having us on. I appreciate it. Tyler Ellis, world servant in the world's greatest Navy. Top 2 most honorable thing I've ever done in my life. And I was you have the Navy, then you have a Navy corpsman. And we have the top-rated most Medal of Honor winners, for a reason, but it's one team, one goal. And what we do is just, we, when everybody's running away from the fight, we're running towards it to get people back up. And we love our Marines, and that's what it's about. And so there's nothing more honorable that I've done besides being a father personally. And it's about everyone coming back home and no man left on the field.
Man, that's outstanding stuff, man. Like I said, I want to thank both of you guys for coming on tonight. It means a lot to me that you take time out of your busy weeks and your schedule to just come sit down and chat with me for about an hour. I really do appreciate a lot. I'm sure people will appreciate it, too.
Likewise, man. Anytime.
Yeah.
So, guys, we're going to dive right into it. PTSD in the military community. I'm going to start with you, Bob. What does that mean to you? When you hear people say PTSD in the military community, what does that mean to you?
So, I mean, like you kind of said at the beginning in the opening, there's a lot. I mean, Iraq and Afghanistan, there was 2.7 million military members that served over there. I mean, if you put it into a comparison, I mean, there was 2.6 million in Vietnam that actually served in Vietnam. PTSD, you know, obviously everybody knows that post-traumatic stress disorder. It's to me, like, you don't really see it when you're out there, right? Because you're kind of institutionalized. You get out there, you do your thing. You're on your own schedule. I guess you can call it, you know, like being just, you know, you're away from everybody. You're kind of in your zone. You're institutionalized out there with those guys and doing everything that you need to do. And you got the compartmentalization going on to where you separate that from your home life. But, you know, like they said, before you come home, I mean, you do things that are, they're called like post-deployment health assessments. And you do get, you know, looked at, I guess you could say. You fill out some, you know, little surveys and that. You go through medical, and 9% of the people coming back, you know, say that, you know, or they show signs of PTSD. But then once you get back in your home setting and you're around your family and everybody, and you're no longer in that that reign of things that's going on, it shoots up to 31% of people have signs of PTSD after the first year back. So, I mean, it's a tough thing to deal with, man. You get guys coming in all the, you know, coming in all the time. You never know when it's going to happen. Guys come in out of nowhere and they, you know, just, like, hey, I think I got something going on, you know, and from there you just take the steps and try to help them out as you can.
Man, that's really good that, you know, you understand that and that you're able to just those stats, man. I haven't gotten to those stats though, man, but that's really alarming that the number is that high. So yeah. I want to go ahead and go to Tyler. I want to ask him, what does he think? What is PTSD in the military community? When you hear that PTSD and military together, what do you immediately think of? What's your initial reaction to that?
My initial reaction to that as a medical professional is an enigma. People don't want that on their record because they don't want to get medically declared out or things like that. And so people don't want any type of marks on their road. And so people that's actually trying to do their career or be a part of something try to stay away from it, or they don't know how to like define it or who to talk to about it. And so until you have the proper outlet or you find someone that you trust to actually talk to about it, which 9 times out of 10, I mean, you talk about men, sometimes men, if you're on a submarine, I was never on a submarine or anything like that, but you have, because I'm talking about people that come in to be seen, come into the service center. I was stationed at the Naval Hospital of Portsmouth and Little Creek Amphibious Base. We have Marines, all branches were there. And when you see men and they're different, they're trying to go home, like Bobby was talking about, it's that last physical exam that you got to get declared to before you go home.
Yep.
It's empathy. You empathize. Because even though you weren't there with them, you want them to be okay because they are your brother and sister in arms. And so, but it goes back to that original feeling, and Bobby can attest to this. Everybody that puts on that uniform is like on your side. And so it's like, even though we try to shy away from it, if you have that association in there, it can be turned around that we can actually help each other.
Yeah.
So I want to, before you go, Bob, I want to ask, I'm gonna go back between both of you guys. So that last examination, like what exactly takes place for that? Like if you say you fail that examination, what happens then at that point? I'm gonna start with you, Bob.
So you would just be, it's not like that you wouldn't exactly come home, right? You would, everything basically gets put into your medical record and they start seeking like assistance for you. They'll start opening up, you know, doors that maybe you didn't know were there, connect you with the right people. You know, you go to mental health, you know, you go through the whole process of seeing everybody. But you know, it's not like, oh, he didn't make it past the post-deployment health assessment, so he can't go home. It's more of a thing of, hey, you know, this guy maybe has some of the triggers and we need to start seeking. So you do it a couple times before you go home. And if something's to happen along the way, you're going to be treated and seen by medical before you return.
And then I can hop it right in on Bob. But then remember that we're talking about something bigger than just physical. That's a physical assessment. As I can only speak as a man and as myself and people that have close personal friends that I've been in contact with. We can pass a test. We can pass a lot. If we don't want people to know we're in pain, we won't tell it. And so this is something more psychiatric that we have to. This is deeper than that. This is when you're at home and your wife and you're playing with your kids and you're not used to letting people inside your circle. And I, like full transparency, I was never deployed. I wish I had that honor, and I beg my command. I never had that honor, but my last command before second MARDIF. You train for those type of things. You train for that. And so when you're at home with your kids and people playing fast in front of your hands, Bobby, it's little things like that. Like, is this, you don't like the fast things coming towards your face like that. And so with certain things that you have to decompress before going back into the civilian world that you don't know until you get there.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And you got to think of it, man. I mean, I know it might be like basic for me to say, but you got guys that, you know, they're driving through these countries and they're, you know, things are blowing up next to them. Their IEDs are going off. They're getting, you know, attacked. And to jump from that and the next day to be in a car driving down I-95, you don't have time to release all that and to, you know, kind of build up or I won't say move on, but kind of separate the two. To you, you're just back driving again. And those things that just happened for 6, 10, you know, 12 months straight. It's not as easy to just let go.
So I want to jump in a little bit there. And I want to ask you guys, this is from me, my perspective. This is not a question in the chat room. This is me. So I want to know, like, this whole stigma of being weaker for getting help in the military, like, I want you guys' opinion about that. You know, I want to start with Tyler this time. Like, give me your opinion. Like, for you, say if I, you know, you need help, what would make you feel weaker about it, if you would feel weaker for needing help?
Because to get help, the first thing you have to do is be honest with yourself. And you can bull crap everybody else throughout the whole entire day. But when you get in front of the mirror, that's when it's real. And it's like, damn, can you be honest with what's wrong with you? Or can you be honest with what you're coping? Like, sometimes if we want to be like, for me, it was like government property. You want to be this hard tool machine and do whatever it takes for your family. But it's just like, what's your coping mechanism? And are you telling yourself a lie? Are you living double lives, telling yourself you're okay and you're really not? And then it goes back more to the opioid, to the pharmaceutical aspect of it. It's a whole nother thing involved in this, because you get veterans hooked on medication. It's a lot. It's a lot that leads to suicidal stuff. But going back to what you go on, staying on point, what you said, it's, man, Bob, you know.
Yeah, Bob, I'm gonna let you go ahead and jump in there, man. Like, give me like from your perspective, why are veterans in their own mind, why do they think it's weaker for them to seek help for a mental condition?
So I think it's just kind of something that is ingrained, right? Like, you think of like Air Force, aim high, Army of One, you know, the few, the proud, like all the slogans and all this. And then, you know, specifically like the adapt and overcome, like you're told that all the time. Like, you're going to adapt and overcome. Oh, something happened. This went wrong. That went wrong. You know, there's not a bridge there anymore. You need to build one. You adapt and overcome. You just keep moving. And I honestly, I don't have any statistics or anything. It's a personal opinion. I honestly think that this is more, the weakness thing is more of a thing that's seen in junior military members. Mm-hmm. That it's a sign of weakness because they're so ingrained that they're, you know, either gung ho or that, you know, they're hard dogs and this and that. Right. And they're afraid to say something or to bring it up because they think other people will see them as being, you know, either less of a woman, less of a man, you know, that there's an issue. And some of the more senior military members, they know that there's a problem. You know what I mean? I mean, not that the younger ones don't, but they're not as ashamed. I think they're comfortable with themselves to say, hey, I need some assistance here. Like, something's going on, you know, and I need to be helped. And it's not that people are going to look down on them or anything, but I just think that there's this this facade in the younger military members' heads that somebody's going to either, one, say that they're faking, and nobody wants to be told that, right? And then two, that, oh, well, did you hear about whatever? We'll just say Smith. Did you hear about Smith? You know, Smith went to medical because it's never like because he's got PTSD. It'll be like because he's trying to not go on this deployment or that deployment or do this or do that.
So there's like some type of stigma with people faking. Is that what you're saying right now? Like,
Yeah. I mean,
like they're kind of, some people, I mean, I'm sure some have in the past, but like guys think they do that just so they won't have to do as much work as everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, there's guys that have gone and medical has come back and said, like, you know, like 100%, there's nothing wrong with him. He doesn't have any of these signs. Mm-hmm. You can't. So it's like me saying, you know, I looked at WebMD and now I got cancer. You know what I'm saying? because I gained 3 pounds in a month and my left eye twitches sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you looked up some crazy stuff on WebMD, if you got a cough and you look it up, it says,
hey, Bobby, I think WebMD killed me off 5 times already.
Yeah.
In my lifetime. So
exactly. So excuse me. Some of these guys just don't know enough about it, I think. And the first thing that they push to is that. But then again, some are, and it's across the military, some just want to get out. Some want to go home. And they're trying to use any excuse to go home. So for me, it's not really a balancing act. I won't say I don't care, right? But I don't, if they come to me and say that they got something, they're going to medical. I'm not there to decide what it is that they have. I'm not there to diagnose. I mean, if helping, you know, if talking to them and helping them a little bit is treatment, then I guess you could say that, you know, there's something there, but I'm not there to do any of that. I'm 100%. Obviously I always talk to them and do that stuff, but I'm not going to diagnose somebody who tells me that they got something. I'm 100% on their side. I believe them. And let's let medical work it out from there and put it in the hand of the professionals.
So I got a question. I'm gonna start with Tyler. So Tyler, I'm gonna ask you, what are symptoms of a veteran dealing with PTSD? Like, say from a family perspective, let's say if you have like you personally, like say you have a cousin or somebody, or maybe even a close friend, like what's something that lets you know that they have this going on with them in their head?
Closed off, alone. Closed off, alone, short half sentences, always like gazing your body, washing hands, like not even like to the point that a regular person would notice. But me, I know when something's wrong. That's just me. But no, that's somebody to notice. But for me, it's just like rapid eye movement. It's certain different body parts. I know somebody's been through something. That's just me, not just me talking about myself. But you can tell when a man or woman has been through something. And this is like the kind of closed off or how they talked about it. And I know we're going through that on that question tray, but it's like we need to get to the part that the point of talking about it is actually healthy, because it's sad going in.
Oh, and everybody was talking about. You mean like the whole purpose of my podcast?
Yeah, exactly, brother. Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. Because when you get to the other side of it, man, it's great. It's great. And it's just because I've as a medical professional, I've seen people on the other side that get to be along. And I think it was Chris Armstrong in the chat room talking about, is the government provide services? And they absolutely do. And it's phenomenal. And I can attest to that. I'm at the VA hospital here in D.C. They just saved my vision for the second time in the last year. And it's an absolute blessing. And so there's every single resource there. There are no excuses. And the best medicine besides faith is willpower and a positive attitude. But I know I don't want to get off topic too much.
Hey, man, if you want to talk about it, man, go ahead. You know, that's like I know I could attest personally for myself. Sometimes just literally talking about something, you just feel 100 times better about it. So I'm going to go ahead and take it over to Bobby now. I'm going to ask you, what is the signs that you could see personally, like not just you, but like say people that you know, family, friends, that they have some type of PTSD going on with them from military experience? Like what's some things that give it away to you?
So there's like, you know, there's nervousness in situations. And it all depends. There's certain situations, there's things that happen. I mean, I got friends that they don't like, you know, like loud noises. And like 4th of July, they can't stand it. And it's an Independence Day, you know what I mean? And there's a couple of them are retired. I mean, they did plus 20 plus years in the military. And it's just ironic that, you know, Independence Day is the day that they can't stand. You know, there's the crowds, people don't like crowds. They don't like, you'll see a lot of the times there's times where, I know I do this in traffic jams, but I think it's kind of just second nature. And I honestly didn't even think of it until you said it. I will never be bumper to bumper with somebody. I always have a good distance between my car and the car in front of me if we're stopped, so I can jet out if I need to. And I don't know. I mean, that's just, those are like some of the things my wife will tell me, like I won't sit. And I think that's just another thing. I don't know if it was always like that, but I won't, like, I face the entrance and exits of places. I would rather have my back to the wall than have my back to the door.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And it's kind of just, I won't say that you're more aware of your surroundings, but you're more conscious as to what's going on around you. And you just pay attention to a lot more things. People might think, you know, that you're...
I think you just opened my eyes to something, so... The couple of things you said, I'm the same exact way. I don't get nowhere near close to people bumper to bumper because they like to hit their brakes out of nowhere.
Yep. Yeah.
And you want to be able to swerve out of there because I've saved too many fucked up movies, like when on Final Destination when the logs came out the back of the truck. I need to be able to move. And you're not lying. When I say I sit with my back against a wall, like when I'm in places, because I like to know, I keep everything in front of me. I do the same thing. And I've never served in the military, but I'm the same way. I'm like, hey, right. You know what? I back my car up when I park, man. If you stay ready, you never have to get ready, right?
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
It's time to go. Mean,
yeah. And that's what it's not like PTSD is only, you know, only stems from the military. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, it's just people who, you know, used to fight all the time or fight in places or brawler status. You know what I'm saying? Like they're just people just stay ready because they're uncertain of their surroundings. And honestly, I mean, look at the crap that goes on around us, man. Like, why shouldn't you stay ready? Too much crazy stuff going on in the world. And I just think, I don't know, I do it just out of habit, I guess. But it's just, you know, one of those things that I need to know what's going on. What's going on around me.
Nobody could be mad at you for that, man. Trust me. Yeah. You're right. PTSD doesn't just stem from military. So I've had, you know, I had my own life. I actually, you know, I've experienced some things too. So maybe that's all connected to that as well. So.
Yeah.
You got something to say, Tyler?
Yeah. Every single person, God bless them. Every single 9/11 survivor has PTSD. And so it's they feared for their lives and they have to overcome that. So think about loud noises for them. Think about think about their habits. They judge everybody that comes through a door. And so our cops, I mean, I was EMT and EVOC. And so whenever I hear ambulances, I'm ready to go. I'm in a civilian car. I'd be chasing ambulances like I want to help because it's just a natural instinct. But my mindset is to run towards it sometimes. But like Bobby said, he's absolutely right. It stems to everyone. Anybody that survived a traumatic event when their life was on the line, my heart and prayers is out to you. And how do we cope with that going forward? And but then the purpose of the show, are we going to have a victim mindset, or what are we going to do about it? Are we going to let that define us? We've talked a lot about everything that's going into it. Now what's next? What's next? Because there's growth after that. And so we fall, but then what? Like that basic training, it breaks down your bad habits to build you back up. Now what's next? And so we go through our victim. What are we going to do about it? There's a lot of things out there to help us.
Yeah, there is. And like we were saying, I mean, we just, and I know, Trey, it's like one of the main purposes, but we just need people to open up, you know, and to reach out more. Cause you know, there's people that, you know, and I know, I'm sure all of us know, that have, you know, suffered from a battle with depression, and the signs weren't like they say on Google, or the signs weren't like you can read in a book.
You mean like, you know, the commercials when it showed a little girl, she's sitting in the room and it's like raining outside and she has no lights on and shit like that?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not always as easy to tell with people. You know, and like, I think, I don't know. I mean, we just, people need to understand that, you know, that they are loved. Somebody, you know, no matter what you're looking at, somebody is there to help you. Somebody will talk. Somebody will sit down and go over what's going on. And nothing is too, you know, how they say, like, there's no stupid question. Like, nothing isn't important. Everything. If you got something going through your head that's bothering you like that, is definitely important. And now let's try to find a way to fix this, or to cope, you know, because some people just think, well, it can't be fixed. Well, I get it. It can't be fixed, but there's ways to cope and ways to continue on and live a healthy life without, you know, going through these thoughts and battling all the time.
I think the issue is a lot of people, like, they think that as far as like getting help is that they're immediately going to feel better. It's like 100% better. That's not true. What you do, it's like a battle every day. And as long as you're winning the battles, then you're on top. You have to win the battles every day. And it's not just instantly, boom, okay, I went to go talk to Miss Huckabee for an hour every week for like a year, so now I'm feeling a lot better. That's it. No, that's Trey, not how it works.
Yeah, Trey, with you saying that, man, it made me think. I told somebody the other day, like, we ain't taking the elevator, son. Like, we're taking the stairs. Like, we're going to walk up this thing together. Like, there ain't no rush to the top. Mm. Like, we're taking the stairs. We're going to get up. We're going to, you know, ensure we hit every step on the way up. And we're going to get there so that when we're at the top, we're completely done. Like, we ain't going to just blow past floors just because we can get to the top faster. Like, that ain't the way this works, you know? So.
And then real quick, since we got a moment on the topic, the Veterans Crisis Hotline is 24/7 mental health hotline. They're here to help anyone. It's 866-693-8180 for all veterans out there. One more time, that's 866-693-8180. That's the Veterans Crisis Mental Health Hotline.
Is that 24/7?
Yep, 24/7, anytime.
I mean, that's good that's available. You know, there's a few hotlines. There's a suicide hotline, you know, and there's a few hotlines for people that, you know, but a big issue with that is they don't feel comfortable to make that call.
Yeah.
Sometimes they feel like they in the back of their mind, there's like a hesitancy to make that phone call. So that's why I like reaching out. I reach out to people personally because most of the time they know me and, you know, it's a familiar face. As opposed to just calling to talk to some random person that might sound like a fucking answer machine. You know what I'm saying? You have this going on with you. You want to feel a connection with somebody. If you feel a connection with somebody, it's easier for you to talk about something and let it out, as opposed to talking to something that's a complete stranger. Like, it's pretty much the same thing as, let's say, AT&T or somebody fucks your bill over and takes two payments out, and then you have to call and talk to them about it. You know, it's kind of like that.
I can't stand that.
Your mental health is more important than your cable bill, right? So that's basically what it feels like to some people. When they get those numbers, they don't want to call those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, so for some would rather talk to somebody that they know, you know, that they're close to. But then others, they don't want to, they still see this thing as a sign of weakness, and they don't want to let their guard down, and they'd rather talk to somebody that they don't know, so that there isn't any, you know, maybe like the next day, hey, are you okay? Or any gossip or anything going around.
Oh, Bob, nobody's just 100% the same.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to leave that up to the person. If they want to talk to a complete stranger, that's good for them. But some people don't want to talk to complete strangers. It's all about the person, man. You could gauge how a person is.
Yeah, exactly.
And one more thing to remember, team, it's not just so much about the person with the symptoms. The person that is the significant other of the person with the symptoms is just as much involved. So that the line is for them as well. Because guess how the significant other, the husband or the wife, is coping with this?
Oh, yeah.
The compound effect that it has on the children. Yeah. Is that there are certain things that can't be said at a certain times. And like, so there's more than just the person having a feeling. It's about, how do I respond when mommy feels this way?
Yeah.
Because I mean, personally, I'm talking to you from a personal standpoint. It's different. And so the hotlines is there. I'm telling you, the people are there to help, because it is about talking about it. And that's the beauty of having a life coach and mentorship and being around people that's going to give you the right, to put you in the right environment to be successful, because you're not going to fix it sitting on your couch.
Yeah.
So we had this talk the other day, fellas. I'm going to bring it up now. I'm going to go back and forth. I'm going to start with you first, Tyler. I think I started with Bobby last time. Is there a reason why that a lot of people don't seek help in the military? Is there a fear of being discharged?
It goes, Bobby said it earlier. You got some people, I never understand these people. I think I only pay attention to one person. Some people, like the 1% that actually want to get out, I'm like, why'd you waste my time? Why would you waste time? But for me, that was like a fear of mine. Like, so yeah, they don't want to be taken out. Not so much as PTSD, but having a mental something on your, because your flight, because you could be in the military, sit behind a desk, but people like your flight, status or your clearance, so certain things might get taken away. Certain things can happen if it depends on how you want your career to go, depending on your MOS or your job or your title. And so that may be a fear of it. And so that's my personal on that. That they would be afraid of their current status. And the people that want to be discharged, that would be kind of hard, because it's hard to discharge unless you're like a danger to somebody.
Yeah. And Trey, I would say, like, I don't think the main fear is being discharged. I think it's that fear of missing out, man. It's that, like, I just trained with these dudes for how many years, for how long? Like, I'm his left side, or I'm his right side. Like this is my brother, and we're going at this thing together, and we've been through all this training together, and I know I don't feel good or I don't feel right now, but they need me, and they can't go without me, or I'm not going to let them go at this without me. So they continue, you know what I mean? And they continue to be there. And it's a thing. They continue to be there for their other military members, because it's selfless. They don't really care about themselves. They're there. They care about the guy to their left and to their right. And that's more important to them than their self is.
And it's the same. Funny how the same thing applies on the football field, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, it's like I said kind of earlier, that compartmentalization piece, man. Like, that's just what that's what military members do. You put things in places, and a lot of people do see it as, you know, that it's a deterrent in life, right? But I mean, like, there's also business articles that say if you know how to compartmentalize, like, you know, some of the world's best entrepreneurs are ones that can compartmentalize and leave work at work and do home at home. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, however you look at it, because you never know which, you know, people are different, man. Personalities are different. You don't know how one guy's going to deal with something compared to the next.
People want to know how what to do when they feel that sinking, that black hole, when they have that black hole in the middle of their chest, that sinking feeling, that cold black hole feeling. What do they do when their shortness of breath is happening at the same time? What are they going to do when they want to go into that box, when that Pandora's box of emotions, of unresolved emotions or feelings, or training that they had, Bobby, that you probably had, that you don't know what to do with when you got back home because you're trained to do a certain thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is, man. You come back home. I think the longest I was gone was 11 months. But you come back home after some of this stuff, and like, you don't fit in automatically. Obviously, not that you don't fit in, right? But you gotta be able to slowly get back into what's going on in the house. Like if my wife's been taking care of everything while I'm gone, you don't just come back in and throw a wrench in her plans because you're home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And although you want to help and you want to do things around the house, it's probably the best advice I ever got. You know, you slow play, you know, slow play your role back into the family, get back in everything. Not saying that you slow play like your affection for your kids and stuff like that, but everybody's on a schedule and they're doing things and you're kind of messing up what they have going on. Because they've been doing it without you, and some people they don't accept that. They want to come home and they think that they have to, like, quote, wear the pants, you know, and do that kind of thing. But you can't just come in and turn their world upside down now because this is what they've been doing for the last 10 months.
So I want to ask Tyler about that hotline that you gave out there, not just the actual members themselves, but can like a family member, like such as like a spouse or somebody, call it for help and absolutely talk to them? They have something going on?
Absolutely. 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 Because all spouses are on your page too. And depending on the type of coverage, if you're like TRICARE Prime, but even vets, like even if you go to the VA, anybody can call the hotline. Anybody can call the hotline. And so that's what it's there for. Because the spouse is actually get some type of training on discharges too. They have a place for them too. And then the centers. It just left me.
But yeah, there's a lot of centers. There's 22 Kill is a big organization that's pretty much everywhere. It's the numbers 22 and then the word kill. It was formed because 22 veterans commit suicide a day. That's the stat, unfortunately. 22 veterans commit suicide a day. I know a while back when the whole challenge phase was taking social media by storm with, like, you know, the ice bucket challenge and the whatever, do this, do that. 22 Kill was doing 22 push-ups, basically, is what they were doing. But 22 Kill does, they got a motorcycle ride coming up. They do a lot of stuff, and it's all for family members. And, I mean, it's also for veterans, right? But the majority that you get are family members. They actually did a 22K hike last year and it's just people – it's bringing people together. It's opening up those lines of communication and bringing people together so that, you know, they have similar people that went through the same thing or are battling the same issues, and it gives them more people to talk to.
Right on.
That's very important. I didn't know that the stat was 22 veterans commit suicide a day. That's pretty staggering.
Yeah.
You said they have a motorcycle ride coming up?
They do. They have a motorcycle ride coming up. I want to say, let me pull it up so that the information is correct. They got a 22 kill vet ride 2018.
If only I had a motorcycle.
Yeah, this one's taking place in Texas. But normally what they do, so they do 22 kilometers, right? I don't know what they do on the ride, but that's what we did on the hike. But they do these all over the place. And, you know, there's veterans in need and there's things on how to get involved. They run all kinds of raffles and, donations and that. And it's a good site, man. I was telling the guys the other day, they actually, they were running some stuff that I had done when I was in the military on their page. Well, not when I was in the military, but when I was doing a certain job, they had it on their main video page, and I didn't know anything about it. I never said nothing to them about it. I just, you know, let it roll, and I thought it was, you know, it was pretty interesting. But there's a there's a lot of things that they do for the communities that they do together for you know, for people in need, and just going out there and getting the message across.
So I'm gonna dive a little deeper, man. I'm gonna ask both you guys. I'm gonna start with Bobby. I start with Tyler first, man. So how do you feel? You know, as far as like, no, I know you serve Bob. Like, how do you feel? You know, are you living life, you know, as far as like as best way that you possibly can? Is everything going well for you? Are you very much enjoying things the same way you were before you served?
Yeah, I honestly think like I enjoy things more now than when I first came in. And I think it's a leadership thing, and it's like being able to converse with you know, I guess everybody, being there for, you know, and like changing the aura and like how things are depicted. You know, like if it ain't never gonna change if somebody don't change it. If you like the answer I hate the most is like, oh, because that's what we always do, or that's the way it's always been done. I hate that answer. Like, let's not do it that way anymore, because it obviously isn't working. Let's try this or let's do that. But personally, from combat deployments and that, I haven't had any issues that I know of. I mean, granted, I'm sure there's times where I was high strung in certain situations and that, but fortunately enough, there was no like lasting things that happened or no instances that took place. Now I got, you know, there's a lot of things that have hit home with other guys that I've served with and things that have happened to them or things, you know, that you can't undecide. And I use those examples when I talk to my guys or, you know, when I'm in a setting that this comes up. I was actually, it's called for the military, they call it suicide prevention facilitators. And I actually did that for numerous years, where you basically talk to theaters filled with people about different, you know, things and stories and how to help out and like how to, you know, get help and seek it out and find it and trying to kill the, you know, the thing of, oh, it's a sign of weakness or somebody's going to look at you differently because, you know, like little cliche, I guess, type things like I'd rather have somebody look at me differently than my family and my kids not see me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or like it's not about, you know,
and that's real too, man. Like, I'm sorry I put you off, but for you to say you'd rather somebody on the outside look at you differently for doing what you have to do than your own family, because you know that's more important than what some strangers have to say about you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's all intertwined into a web, man. It's all, when it comes to your mental health, you need to care more about yourself than what other people think about you. It's all intertwined. It's like one big web, man.
Yeah, you just got to know when is, you know, when that time is, you know, and when you need to seek help. You can't just brush it off. And, you know, one guy was telling me, it was probably like 6 months ago, that this has been taking place for about 5 months now. And I was like, 5 months and you're just coming up now? And he's like, well, actually, it's been going on for 182 days. And I'm like, 182 days, like exactly. He's like, yeah, I've been counting the days. And I told him, well, look, we're not going to count the days anymore. Like, you don't count the days. It's time to make the days count. Like, let's go. Like, we're going to go do this and do that. And from here on out, we're just going to make the days count and we'll figure out what's up. And he was like all excited, like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And that's all he needed was somebody to kind of turn him in that direction and, you know, and fire him up a little bit to that. It's, you know, like you are important. So
that's all it takes, man. The one person to give that encouraging word to, you know, let them know that everything's all right.
Yeah.
Some people just completely ignore others' feelings, don't care about their mental status. If they don't, and it's, some people are selfish like that. If you don't serve a purpose to help in their life, they don't reach out to you. You know, they don't care about you. If you need to find some genuine people keep like a few of them in your circle and just, you know, you guys just uplift each other and build each other up. That's very important. So
yeah, exactly.
Tyler.
Yeah, brother.
I'm gonna ask you, same thing I asked Bobby, man. How do you feel like as far as like, you know, you've served, I'm gonna know about your status. Have you know, how are you right now? What's going on with you, man?
The best thing about the military for me, man, is it hit me differently, man. It gave me so much appreciation. For me, it was about appreciation. When I come back and I see something, I'm like, man, that's civilian, because I know what our brothers and sisters are doing. I know what they're sacrificing. I see these young people that's going over there. I mean, how the hell am I mad at? Why the hell am I mad about a damn long line or traffic? And that's not like not life or death for real. And so it's about appreciation, because leaving my baby girl to go to boot camp was super damn tough. And when Bobby's talking about being away from his family for 11 months, I'm like, wow. You have an awesome wife, because that's outstanding family support.
Yeah, she's a deployment OG. That's what I call her.
Man, that's priceless, man. So that right there cripples a man so bad. There's a reason why one of my mentors, he was on a submarine, and his wife, something bad happened at the house, but she didn't tell him, because you're not allowed to give bad news to a submarine when you're by submarine, because one, she knew he couldn't do anything about it. But with men, we're warriors. If we know something's at home, we want to fix it. And if somebody tells us something that we have to worry about when we're on a mission, that distracts us. And so keeping it positive and keeping it fluid, when you get out, you just understand it's not that serious. It's not that serious. Is it life or death? Is this who's going to benefit from this? You talked about it, Trey. You just said the definition of what you just said was selfless. What is the return on investment? But how can he blesses us so we can bless other people, just like this show. You're not getting paid for this. You're blessing people. So that's what it's about.
I'm not even getting a free beer, man. This is just all 100%.
I stand corrected. Matter of fact, you are getting paid eternity. You are getting paid eternity blessings, my man. And that is greater than any type of currency.
I have to say, man, it's very satisfying for me to know that I am immediately affecting people's lives in a positive way, that their days are just, they feel like they're having better days just by talking to me, or even just coming into the chat room and just saying what they have to say. And they just feel like they just, sometimes they tell me they feel better, or they tell me they had a good week, or things are getting better for them at home, because they'll be able to be honest with themselves. That's very important for them to be able to be honest with yourself. That's where it starts. It starts with you being honest with yourself. And then after that, you being able to be open with other people. You don't have to, when you suppress something, that's how depression is created. I had this conversation with somebody else. You have to, if you hold back expressing stuff, you know, it's not expressing sadness. You're not expressing the stuff that's going on in your life. It has to come out somehow. So it comes out through depression. That's how depression's formed, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, man, I don't get paid, man. My account looks exact same tomorrow at the Deutsche show. It is very satisfying for me to know that people are actually living and having better life and being able to be open, man. That's where it starts. Being open with yourself. Honest with yourself and being open with others. That's where it starts. So I want to ask, before we keep going, man, I know we're about 48 minutes in, I just want to, you know, talk to Bob. Man, I know the hurricane hit your guys' house. I think it was last week.
Yeah.
And, man, I was happy that you and your family are okay, man.
Appreciate it, man.
It's been on my mind, man. That's why I hit you up. And it's like, I wanted to make sure I talked about it on the show, man. The fact that you were able to take time away, you know, you have all that going on. That's a very stressful situation to be in. I had my house get caught on fire before. I know exactly what it's like. So for you to be able to take time and be like, you know what, Trey, I'll come on the show and talk to you and talk to the guests for an hour out of your week. You didn't have to do that. You could have been like, you know, that's not a good time for me. I have this going on me. For you to be able to do that, man, I'm very appreciative, and I'm glad that you and your family are okay.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I was just showing these guys before we started, like, I don't have a ceiling in my master. I'm missing part of my roof. Now this next one's hitting me, whatever, Michael. This thing's hitting me, and I mean, what are you going to do? I can't do nothing about it. The kids are healthy. My wife's healthy. Everybody's fine. Like I told her, like, you know, these are just belongings, you know, like whatever, we can get more. And it does, it sucks. It's stressful. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think, you know, the stressful part about it is not the house getting destroyed. It's taking all the steps and doing all this paperwork and talking to all these people and getting all this approval to get stuff fixed. Like, how quickly things can be destroyed, but how long it takes to build it back up. And it kind of, like, when you had told me before, you know, like, hey, are you sure that you, you know, that you can do this or what? I kind of thought exactly about, like, the basis of your show. Like, how fast things could get broken down for somebody and how long it takes to build back up. I think that's, like, you know, exactly what we're doing here. And it'll be all right, man. We'll get this thing back together. You know, I'm sitting, I told her, like, she wasn't ready for it, though. She wasn't ready. I told her, she had sent me a video. of the bedroom, man. And, like, there's all, no kidding. Like, it was light outside. There's, like, a hole in my roof. And that there wasn't, like, the people that come out to put tarp on there hadn't been there yet. I was still gone. I was in Arizona. So they hadn't come yet. And there was a hole in my roof. And I was like, oh, babe, look, we got a skylight. Like, that increases the value of the house. And she wasn't ready for that, man. She was like, are you serious?
It was too soon?
Oh, yeah. It was way too soon, man. But all in all, she's good now. I think, you know, I mean, not that I won't say that everything's great, right? I mean, we're both still concerned. We got to rip up floors. We got to break down walls, pull off the, like, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get done, man. But
do I gotta come out there with my carpenter practice, man?
Let's get it.
You know, you get the material and we just fucking just put the shit together, man.
Yeah, we just start going. And that's what I've been doing, man. Hitting Lowe's, going to all these places, getting estimates. But, you know, there's the stressful part, honestly, is dealing with the insurance companies, because the adjuster tells you, well, we're going to give you this much. And then the estimates are like $5,000 more. And you're like, okay, no, that ain't going to work. And then at the beginning, I know I've been going a little while on this, but at the beginning, like, the one adjuster is like, oh, you need to talk to your insurance company. And so then I hang up with him. I call the insurance company and they're like, oh, you need to talk to the adjuster. And I was like, all right, Chris, hold up a minute. So then I hit the little plus sign on my phone, hit add call, and I called the adjuster. And I said, Chris. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, Brian. He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, Brian, meet Chris. Chris is my insurance agent. Chris, meet Brian. He's my adjuster. You two figure it out. Who's paying me and when is this happening? And they were caught a little off guard, but I got it quick, man.
And I don't mean to cut in here, Bobby, but the thing is right here, what's important to understand here, God bless him. What if your wife was home by herself right now? What if you were in Japan right now?
Oh, yeah.
What if you were in Japan right now and your wife was handling all of this, brother?
Yeah, dude.
Go ahead, man.
That's one thing I didn't even bring up, Gaines, and I'm glad you brought it up. So I was in Arizona. I was supposed to leave Arizona and go out of country straight from Arizona. So I was supposed to leave there and go out of country till the beginning of December. And my command basically told me, nah, you're not going to do any of that. You're going to go home, fix your house, take care of your wife and kids, get done what needs to be done, and we'll see you in the beginning of December. And granted, I might be snitching on myself right now or somebody else out there that kind of helped me out, but I mean, it's family first, man, and it's family first at a lot of places. And, you know, some people don't think it is because, you know, we have to leave and deploy and go away all the time, but that's what we chose to do. When you're at home and there's time to do things, they're definitely a family first organization.
Yeah, so I'm just, like I said, man, I said it about maybe 5 minutes ago. I'm just really happy that you and your family are doing all right, man. Like, that everything can be replaced. We can't lose Phelan, man. You're an important part of the team.
Yeah, you'd be feeling, but no, I'm kidding.
Now, it was so funny. Like, he always calls you Phelan. I'm like, dude, that's not his name.
We were talking about it earlier.
That's what I'm saying. It was funny. I was like, that's not his name. So.
Yeah, but it's good, man. We'll slowly rebuild. took care of that. I bought a chainsaw. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting tools out of the deal.
Is it a gas power one?
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. You think I'm buying something that plugs into the wall? I didn't even have power an hour ago.
some dudes like the plug-in ones. To me, I'm a gas guy. You know, that's the one that got the kick.
Yeah, me too, man. But yeah, we did all that. I put the fence back together. We got guys coming out, man. We're slowly getting there. I'm just hoping this one coming through doesn't do any additional damage. And you know, we're still dancing in the front room together and still jamming the surround sound that works. So we're good, man. It's a good day.
We're gonna keep Bobby and his family in our prayers. Everybody, you know, make sure reach out to him if you have access to him. Bobby is on Facebook. He probably doesn't want you guys on his Facebook. I know I'm kind of particular about who I add on my Facebook, but Twitter and Instagram, you can probably find them. Gaines, man, what's up? I can't call you Gaines. I introduced you as Tyler. Tyler, how are you, man? How are things at home, man? Is everything good?
I mean, man, I'm blessed, fam. I'm blessed and so appreciative, man. I mean, my mentorship, my family, it's about family support. And I wouldn't be the man I am today. The mentorship and my positive association, especially a Bears bar room like that, I mean, the type of positive people, because you can have an issue, but what are you going to do about it? And so you have to surround yourself with the people that's going to stretch you. You got to surround yourself with the people that's not going to make you slide back into those ways that you don't want to go down. And so I read the books. There's books that you can read. There's things that you can do, positive things. And when you live your life for not yourself, you don't got time to focus on yourself. Because for every problem that you have, when you serve somebody else, that universe take care of your problem already. And so I got baby girls to take care of. They can't eat love sandwiches. I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. And so
you said they can't eat what sandwiches?
My girls can't eat love sandwiches.
Love sandwiches?
Yeah.
I thought you said bologna, so I want to say, hold on, man. First of all, let me tell you something. Bologna sandwiches was where it's at back in the day, man. Don't forget where we came from.
It's no excuses, just results, man. And so it's like, are you going to be a victim, or are you going to be a man of impact, or are you going to leave a legacy? Because I'm not going to let my daughter see no lazy-ass man just making excuses. That's a non-option.
And God, so I'm right tonight, because if you let them see you doing that, guess what they're going to expect? That's what they're going to get. They're going to get older and date men that exact same way.
Not at all. We're not having that at all. Show my daughters how they can be free and how they can have an impact on the world as well. And so, but they're going to, they don't do what I say. Just watch what I do. Watch what I do. And so, but it's all, but again, it goes back to who you surround yourself by. I mean, so I don't want to be the strongest person in my neighborhood. I don't want to be the smartest person in the neighborhood. I want to be stretched. That's why I want to be around people that are better than me, further along down in my life, so I can be better. And so, and that keeps me grinding. You never settle. Grateful but not satisfied. People like Bobby, people like at Tailgate, people like Doc and Phil, everybody at Bears Barroom, people that are doing things to impact other people's lives. We build a platform to create another platform, the compound effect.
I heard Bob about the talk, but you know, we're at about the 58-minute mark. Got about two minutes left of the show. I'm gonna give you guys about maybe 20, 25 seconds each to get your last word in. I'll get my last word. I'm gonna start with you, Bob. You got something to say?
Should I do it like Buffon? All right, so here we go. We're gonna go to the now. So hey, so look, I don't know if it's just luck or what, man, but honestly, the people that I've been fortunate enough to surround myself with in life are like 100% people, man. They're always there for you. Guys, I mean, you guys, we met, I mean, half of these dudes we ain't even met. We all just talk on Twitter and Skype from time to time, and people are hitting me up asking if I need this, if I need that.
Hold on, man. Come on. Why you gotta say that, man? Like, we ain't never met. What the fuck? I thought was better than that, man. Come on.
No,
what
I mean, like,
my show and they say I don't even know you. Like, dude, what the hell, man?
No. I'm talking about like face to face, real life. Like, dudes are hitting me up asking, like, hey, can we send you gift cards? Can we send you this? Can we give you that? Do you need help? Do you need me to drive out and help do this? Trey, like you just said, do you need me to bring the carpenter pouch? It's crazy, man, how much, you know, when people know what's going on, how much they're willing to help. And I think it brings us back to the beginning, man. When people know what's going on, you'll be surprised. It'll be definitely shocking how many are there to help if you just ask for it, man.
Go hear it, Tyler.
I mean, I feel like I talked enough already, man. But it's just to be honest, man, when you free yourself of all guilt, when you're fully transparent, you have no anxiety. And that was one of my my triggers. That was one of my things that helped me be free. It's just like if you just try to be, if you honest and just open and real and 100 proof real talk, it's just like, hey, you have no anxiety. This is me, except for better, for worse. This is what you see, what you're gonna get. And so, I mean, just everybody in Evanston, I love y'all, man. Everybody in Chicago, man. Everybody across, everybody listening, all the bar flies, everybody tuning in. We appreciate everybody taking the time out of their day, Thursday night football, whatever you may be doing, and just giving an ear. And if it doesn't help you, tell somebody else that it can help.
Yep.
So I'm gonna go ahead and, you know, I'm gonna finish up. First of all, I would like to thank both you guys for not only for coming on to the show, but I also like to thank you guys for your service to this country and for dedicating your life to making sure that we are living in a safer place in the United States of America. So
appreciate, I want to thank it, man,
you guys for that. But I also want to say one more thing. Tyler, you hit something that I've engraved in my head. You know, you should not be around a bunch of people that you feel like you're better than, because you are complacent in life and you're not pushing yourself to reach your highest possible ability. You have to surround yourself with people that are better than you at certain things. That way it pushes you to go harder. It pushes you to be a better person. It pushes you to be the best person you can be. So that's all I want to say for this week. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Next Thursday at 8 o'clock, we will talk again. So everybody have a good week. See you then.